Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Federico Boxaca from Familia Schroeder. You're the export manager. How are you, mate?
Good.
Excellent. We're going to be talking a little bit about Patagonia, which is a wine region in southern Argentina, and that's where your company's from.
Patagonia is one of the newest regions in Argentina.
Okay, and it's quite far south as well.
Yeah, we are actually 800 kilometers to the south of Mendoza, which is one of the most better known regions of Argentina.
And if you look at, say, Chile, a region some people may be more familiar with is something like Biobío, and you're even further, just a wee bit further south than them.
Yeah, big difference between same latitude in Argentina, because in Chile there's a lot of rain in the south. The big difference is that in Argentina we are a desert.
Yeah, okay. So Biobío is a bit wetter, but obviously you've still got the protection from the Andes.
Yeah, the Andes act as a shield, the wet winds that come from the Pacific. They have a great influence in the weather of Argentina. That's why Argentina has a long stretch of wine regions going from Salta down to Patagonia. That's about over 2,000 kilometers.
Do you still have altitude, though? Because one of the big things about Mendoza is the altitude. Is it still quite high in Patagonia?
Well, most people don't interpret correctly the altitude thing. Altitude has to do with finding the right conditions. Mm. In Patagonia, because it's cooler, you don't need to go high. What the viticulturists look for when they go high in the northern provinces is to have a good temperature difference between day and night. We have a very good temperature difference between day and night at 350 meters above sea level. To get the same conditions in Mendoza, you have to go above 1,000 meters.
And so what's the climate like then? If you're heading further south, what's the latitudes are you guys at?
The latitude is 39 degrees.
Okay, so you're right in the middle of that 30-50, so it's not should be fairly good climate.
Yeah, it's fairly good. It's a little bit cooler than the northern regions, but the main difference is that we don't need the proximity to the Andes to get the right conditions. We are 350 kilometers away from the Andes. Thus, our climate is more regular. We don't have as much frost hazard as you might have being closer to the Andes.
And do you have the water runoff as well, so you've got good irrigation from the Andes?
We have a big river, which is the Neuquén River,
yep.
That was done by the English in 1905 to irrigate the valley. And yep. There's plenty of good quality water.
Okay, so there's no problems with irrigation. Are all the vines irrigated, or do you...
Yes, you need to, because, as I said, it's a desert. The yeah. rainfall is 125, 150 millimeters per year, and mostly in winter. So if you don't irrigate, nothing grows.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. Patagonia seems to be divided up into two regions, possibly even a third, depending on how you take your political positioning. You guys are based in...
Neuquén, San Patricio del Chañar Valley.
How do you pronounce it?
Neuquén.
It's like now and then a kin, is that right?
Neu.
Goodness me, I'm trying to work out how to say it phonetically.
It's an Indian, Aboriginal word.
It's also, you were saying earlier, it's a palindrome, so it's actually spelt.
You can read from both sides.
Yeah, yeah, N-E-U-Q-U-E-N, so it's quite nice. And that's where your vineyard's based.
Mm-hmm.
You're the export manager there, so
yes.
Of Familia Schroeder. So there's your region, there's another region that's within Patagonia, which is the Rio Negro, is that
That's right? Very close to us, and that's where the wine industry was originated. By the beginning of the 20th century.
So Rio Negro has sort of been the heartland of Patagonian wine industry, would you say?
Yes, and it used to supply wine to all of the southern part of Patagonia until roads were improved and the competing wine from Mendoza came to reach the southern cities. The thing is, the yields, and this is important, from Mendoza and San Juan are much higher. You can get twice as much, in some grapes, three times as much yield per hectare in Mendoza than in San Juan.
Is the quality the same?
No, well, that's why we used to say in Patagonia, we are condemned to quality. Because if we try to produce high-yield, low-cost wines, we cannot. So we have to devote ourselves to grow fine quality grapes and work on the highest level possible.
Is that because you're still growing the same grapes you're growing in Mendoza, but it's a bit cold, so you can't get the grapes? But have you thought about using different grape varieties than, say, Malbec and Chardonnays?
Well, you know, this project actually, in again, was begun quite recently, only 12 years ago. And the decision was to begin planting grapes that there was some experience in Patagonia about how they went. These grapes were planted before in Rio Negro, and there was a technical station there, the INTA, Instituto Nacional de Tecnología Agropecuaria, who have made studies of how these varieties work in this region.
Yeah.
So we kind of follow their advice, and now, since 5 years back, we have been experimenting with different clones to see if we can have some grapes that perform better.
And the grape varieties that grow down in Patagonia quite successfully are?
Well, Malbec that grows everywhere in Argentina.
Yeah.
Cabernet Sauvignon and Pinot Noir should be considered the basic three grapes that work very well. And Pinot Noir, we could say the main difference with how it performs in other regions, you have to look at Pinot Noir, because really there's a big difference between the Pinot Noirs of this region and the rest of the country.
Yeah, I tasted some of your wines yesterday, and I quite like your Chardonnay because it was particularly ripe and tropical and quite nice, actually. But you're right, some of your wines had a particularly nice mouthfeel. And I'm not mean just the Pinot Noir, which was quite nice, but also your Malbecs had a real silkiness to them. What do you think's driving that? Some Argentinian Malbecs, particularly from Mendoza, can be quite butch wines, whereas yours had quite almost a finesse to them.
Yeah, well, I'm not the technician, but what I heard and my observations, I have worked before for wineries in Mendoza and San Juan. Growing process is a little bit different, mainly because of two things. I would say the main factor of difference in Patagonia is the wind. Patagonia is flat land, very windy. It's so windy that we have to protect the vineyards with windbreakers. We plant poplar trees around the vineyards in order to protect them. The other main difference is we have a big temperature drop. It's 20 degrees Celsius average in summer between day and night. And that amounts to a very good natural acidity, and because there's a third factor, we have close to one extra hour of sunlight during summer,
yeah,
due to the latitude. All these three factors together amount to a very good ripeness of the tannins within the grape. We don't need to age the wines in order to get that softness. And because the tannins are soft, and the acidity, the natural acidity, is quite high, you get both things that are difficult to achieve. You get freshness, which amounts to very good drinkability.
Yeah.
And because the tannins are soft, you don't get any roughness. The combination of tannins and acid might be rough, but This is not the case.
Acidity tends to highlight tannins.
Yeah, that's the case.
Yeah, and can make the wine quite hard if it's mm-hmm. just acidic and tannic, whereas your wines didn't really have that hardness there, so perhaps that's what's driving that. We were talking yesterday, and we were talking about oxidation of wines and all that sort of stuff, and you said something that was a wee bit unusual, which is true, but, well, sort of true, that acidity protects wines against oxidation. I sort of intuitively believe you because, you know, acidic white wines tend to hold up quite nicely, mm-hmm. you know, for aging purposes. You think of good Burgundies, you know, they are fairly acidic monsters.
These wines age particularly well.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the acidity, really. Yeah.
What I liked, you mentioned, you gave an example of an avocado, I think, yesterday. Do you want to mention what that is? Because I think that's, it sort of shows how acidity holds up against oxidation.
Well, yes, it's common knowledge among the chefs or people who are fond of cooking that avocado, if you leave it to the air, it turns dark.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
So the trick is to put a little bit of lemon juice on it, and then the citric acid of the lemon juice will protect the avocado from oxidizing.
Yeah, I've heard about that for apples as well. Apples go brown quite quickly.
Well, the same thing.
My mum used to put a wee bit of lemon juice on top of that. So I don't understand the chemical mechanism for it, but I'm on board with you there.
Don't either. Don't worry.
You said some of the wines have been aged quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your vineyard's only 12 years old. Have you mm-hmm. tried some of the first vintages that are off and how they're holding
up? Well, yes. Actually, yesterday, I don't remember if you particularly tasted this one. We had a blend that was 2004, meaning February, March 2004, being in the southern hemisphere.
Yep.
And the color was holding quite well, and the taste is very good, and it still worked well.
Yeah, no, I tried that. That was the Pinot Noir, wasn't it, the 2004?
It was a blend of Pinot Noir and
Malbec. That's right. You know, and I thought the fruit was holding up quite nicely, actually, for mm-hmm. a wine that's sort of 6-7 years old. So very good, very good. One last wee thing, drilling into the different sub-regions of Patagonia. We've mentioned Rio Negro. We've mentioned Neuquén.
Neuquén,
I've got that. But there's also another region called La Pampa,
yes.
Which people often bundle in with Patagonia, but technically it's not, is it?
Well, political borders separate La Pampa, which is another province, from Neuquén and Rio Negro. Three different provinces, not necessarily with differences, viticulturally speaking, to call them different regions. Actually, there are more resemblances between the grapes from La Pampa, Rio Negro, and Neuquén that the grapes of some of the regions of Mendoza, which Mendoza is a big province and happens to be the largest wine grape producer of Argentina because the railroad reached them first. The first railroad laid by the English in Argentina was from Buenos Aires to the west, putting together Buenos Aires, which is the largest population, Rosario, second largest, Cordoba, third largest, and Mendoza. So it was natural for the growers in Mendoza to perform better because they have the markets put together by the railroad.
It is amazing that some of the famous wine regions like Bordeaux, one of the reasons Bordeaux's popular with wine is because you could get your wine out on ships.
Yeah.
Other wine regions which could potentially have been as good never got away simply because they were inaccessible to the market, which is interesting. You know, and you think of wines like Champagne as close to Paris and sort of the French regions are more based on their proximity or ability to get to market. So
logistics always plays a great role in every development.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And has the railway arrived down in Patagonia now?
Yeah, but it's no longer operating. All the transport is made by truck.
Oh, okay. And how many wineries are in Neuquén?
At the moment, operating are about 7, 8, not many.
Okay, so it's still quite a small region, but you're quite a big one, 120 hectares, I read on your
website. Well, not the largest of the region. There's another one that has over 600 hectares, and it's the largest of it. Ours has, I would say, a dimension that is adapted to the possibilities of the region. Being low yield and having to work on quality wines because of that, if you're big, it's difficult to achieve the sort of level of quality. And at the same time, you have to grow at the pace as you can sell your wines. So it's kind of a niche winery. We are not after large volume with a few customers. We have many customers buying here and there,
yeah,
small volumes. So we need to hand sell our wines. It's not a supermarket.
Yeah, but your pricing's not crazy. You know, you're looking at sort of eight to 12 pound bottles,
mm-hmm,
which isn't too bad. You know, they're not silly prices, and the quality seems to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we have also a motto, which is we have to produce sustainable quality. It's not kind of painting Van Goghs. It's kind of doing wine that it's affordable quality. People can reach them, and we are in constant pursuit of improvement.
I noticed you don't seem to grow any Torrontés.
Torrontés. Torrontés is a...
The listeners will know my pronunciation is appalling.
Torrontés is the name of a Spanish grape, but actually this is not like the Spanish Torrontés. This grape is indigenous to Argentina. They say it's a natural hybrid from Criolla Chica, small Criolla, and Muscat from Alexandria.
Yeah, it's definitely got that sort of Muscat-y type thing. It's, I always think of it as a Gewürztraminer, but with a bit less of the alcohol in it and a bit more structure, a bit more acidity.
It seems, well, it's terpenic, like Gewürztraminer and like Sauvignon Blanc. They have resemblances. But it's funny how planted in different regions in Argentina gives different aromas and different taste. It's very sensitive to the different terroirs.
Mm.
If you have a Torrontés from Salta or La Rioja, it will taste like mango, pineapple, peaches. The same grape in Mendoza will taste more like peaches and pineapple, less mango. And you go to Patagonia, and it's like lychee fruit. It's funny, but it's always very fragrant, and it's kind of a wine people get enthused about. When we come to pairings, you have to be careful because it's so aromatic that some foods are not don't go very well with it. But it goes very well with Thai food or the sort of hot.
Yeah, I would have thought it goes better. People often say Gewürz goes well with Thai food, but the alcohols are too high for anything spicy for me, whereas Torrontés seems to have lower alcohols than, say, Gewürztraminer.
Well, you can have it with low alcohol. Actually, we produce only sparkling Torrontés,
mm-hmm,
which is called Deseado. And this wine was meant for dessert. Actually works wonderfully with lemon pie or with Stilton.
Yep. I actually tried that wine, and you're saying yesterday it's only had a single fermentation, so the fermentation to get the fizz was the same as the alcoholic fermentation, which is a wee bit unusual.
Yeah, well, it's a creation of our winemaker to do it that way, and it worked perfectly well because it keeps the natural aroma of the grapes due to the... there's no exposure of the wine. We vinify the grapes directly in the pressure tank, and then we stop the fermentation when it reaches 9.5% alcohol, and then it's sedimented and filtered and bottled. So no chance of oxidizing.
Excellent. Well, I better wrap it up there, Federica. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.